Vinny, episode 704 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Next match.
By the way, a quick thing
Sorry. Good, because that was a shitty
Edge DVD promo.
Anyway. The Decade of Decadence, stolen from Motley Crue's First Greatest Hits collection.
They did.
Which I owned on tape.
I did too, actually.
It wasn't a very good collection. Remember? They had like a bunch of like new shit.
Right. We're not looking, to every artist ever.
Whatever the song they did on the Ford Fairlane soundtrack, really? That's on your Greatest Hits compilation?
To every artist ever on your Greatest Hits thing, please forego your new music.
Except,
it's not what we're looking for.
Except... Primal Scream was a good track, man.
Okay.
But their cover of Anarchy in the UK?
Yeah.
Not very good.
Yeah, but that's... I think, like, Rush has tried to do that. I feel like Rush has had, like, a million, greatest hits things. But, Jesus, we don't need to hear the new stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm sorry. You were starting to set up the next one here with the Jeff Hardy video, right?
No. Well, he wrestles Edge. So, yeah, there was... I wasn't going to talk too... Well, yeah, I guess we should talk about this Jeff Hardy video because, again, there was a... big storyline coming to this match that Jeff had this secret attacker.
Yep.
Somebody had been stalking him and didn't they at the Survivor, if I remember correctly, didn't the WWE.com try to make it seem like Jeff had OD'd in to get late buys for that show? They sent out something like he hadn't been seen or something like that. And it turned out that he'd been beaten up in the staircase in the storyline. But I remember them with some sleazy last-second promotion for that Survivor Series show, which was a terrible show.
By the way, folks, just to put over, because I think they did do that, just to put over how sleazy it was, let's go back to our last mini-episode talking about this, the 2008 Royal Rumble, where he did not beat Randy Orton for the title. Like, okay, well, I'm sure great things are going to happen to WrestleMania. Nope, not so much. He was suspended from WrestleMania for another drug relapse. So for them to be, 6 months after he came back, if that, trying to play off of it? Yeah, even by their standards. Yeah. And again, I'm not a fan of PG, but I look at both sides of things as much as I can. At least we're not getting that kind of crap anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty tasteless. That's Fritz Von Erich stuff, right?
That is. Oh, yeah.
But I'll say this. So you referenced the last year show, and we had a kind of a debate. Should Jeff have gone over? It turns out to be a moot point because, as you said, he got suspended anyway. So it's not like he could have worked WrestleMania or been in the title program or done anything. Or he was supposed to win Money in the Bank.
Right.
And he didn't. See him poke it. But here, Jeff Hardy's the champion.
Right.
Did he get screwed 2 years in a row? Do you think they pulled... It was obvious going into the show that he was losing here, but disregarding that for a moment, did they take the title off him too early? He was really over during this time period. Like I said, other than Cena, he was the top babyface in the company.
They probably did because you
and
could
it was
have...
something fresh on SmackDown.
Well, here's the thing, too. You could have done a thing where he was the... champion but still looking for revenge after it becomes unmasked that Matt Hardy has been the attacker. You could have, if you're bound and determined to do this match, you could still do it. You could have made it a world title program. The interesting thing too here is that continuity here, which is unusual because Jeff Hardy goes to SmackDown in the previous year's draft, so he's over there now, but he's still holding the WWE title that he fought for the previous year because, for the second time, they flip-flop titles. World title goes to Raw as part of the whole Edge CM Punk cash-in deal the previous year. And the WWE title ended up, I guess Triple H got drafted to SmackDown, yes? And he took the title with him? I think that's how it went.
Yes,
okay.
Triple H did not get the title at WrestleMania 24.
Right.
Was supposed to, but I think they... thought too many people knew that was going to happen. So they held it off till Backlash, if I remember, in like a Four Corners match or a Fatal Four Way, whatever they call
it. And then like H beat him like three times in a row on pay-per-view. I didn't remember how Randy long Orton. That program Randy was. Orton Randy Orton, yeah.
And then, yeah, well, SmackDown switched stations to My Network TV, and Triple H was the kind of the loyal soldier.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to put a big star on there.
Right.
And he's like, all right, I'll go to – it was the only time in his career he worked SmackDown.
Right.
And so, yeah, he went the champion, and then they got the belt over on Raw with the whole Edge CM Punk angle.
Right.
Where Punk cashed in Money in the Bank. So, yeah, you're right. But that's a big thing with the softening of this brand. Like, it was, I know they had done it before with Cena Batista.
Yeah.
Like you said.
That's the time everybody remembers. People remember this as much.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because there were just too many title changes during this time.
Right.
Especially in late 08.
You're right.
You know, because wasn't there, like, Jericho, comes in, you know, Jericho, first of all, he won it without Punk ever losing it. Then he, like, lost to Batista, won it right back, then loses to Cena, who had just come back. The SmackDown title, I'll say this,
mm-hmm.
had not changed that much, obviously, because Triple H won it. And then he held it for a long time.
I'm going to build on what you just said, because you made me think of something very interesting, that it had always been a rule, as far as I remember, with Money in the Bank, of... you call your shot with it, but it's for the brand that you're on. CM Punk, when he came out, I think that was one of the things Edge was trying when he panicked. It was kind of like, you can't do this. CM Punk was cashing in on a guy from the other brand who stopped in on
Super
Raw.
Shows. It was one of those super shows. Yes.
It was, yeah. Because
Raw didn't have a champion at the time.
Right.
It was in the middle of the draft.
Yes.
And Triple H had just been drafted to SmackDown. And
right.
Edge was the world champion already on SmackDown.
And he showed up on Raw just to taunt Batista, and then Batista comes out, attacks him, leaves him laying.
Yes.
So CM Punk is cashing in on the guy from the other
good
brand.
Angle.
It was a great angle, but you're right that it's indicative of the nothing means nothing kind of direction they were going in.
Yeah, but the
they right. sacrificed for what was a good angle. They sacrificed credibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just sacrificed a hard brand split.
Well, I equate a hard brand split with credibility.
Okay.
So,
okay. So Jeff wins the title the month before this at Armageddon. Finally, a lot of people kind of thought, and I watched this match before I watched this show, the match he had with Triple H at No
mm-hmm.
Mercy. It's a great match if you haven't watched it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like an all-timer. I don't even know if it's a match of the year, but it's like a 4-star match.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's a just straight one-on-one Triple H versus Jeff Hardy match for the SmackDown title. He didn't win, but at that point you could tell it, you know, Jeff was, he deserved a title run, finally.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously it was tough with the drug issues for them to put their faith in him, they being the company. But he does finally go over in a three-way, I believe, with Triple H and Edge at Armageddon.
Right.
I think that's what the main...
because that's what set up him and Edge here.
Yeah. So we have this Who's Stalking Jeff storyline. You know, there was an incident with a car... right, like him and his girlfriend have been run off the road by some mystery man, and then there was like a pyrotechnics accident. There was that beating, there was him getting beaten up in the staircase at Survivor Series and not even being able to wrestle.
They played off of
which
some
Edge
things.
Came in and won the. They did a lot, by the way, during this time period of unadvertised guys coming into a title match and winning.
They did. And it was interesting because they played off some real-life things. His house, at some point that previous year, had burned down, and they worked it into the title thing. Like, whoever did this burned down his house. And I think like
that was, I think that was not till after this they did that. Like, Matt started taking credit for that.
Oh, okay. And then his dog died, too, and I think they worked that into it. I killed your dog.
I think that stuff came after
okay.
this.
Okay.
I think, because they didn't talk about that at all
okay.
during this show.
Well, you know what? Because like the house burning down was much earlier on the time frame. It was
trailer
like
or something.
Like early to mid 08. Well, I think you might have looked at
it. I think it was when he was on sabbatical from the company.
That's right. I think it was. It was when he was out. So you had that going on, and that set up this match, which I think we would probably agree was the best of the three title matches.
Oh, without question.
Well, three men's title matches. Obviously, it was better than the women's
yeah,
match.
Yeah, without question. It was probably the best match that was better than the Rumble.
Oh, yeah, match of the night.
But I wanted to still stick with this stalker.
Yes, yes, please.
From everything I've read, it was originally intended to be Christian that turned out to be this stalker who would just not re-upped with TNA. It was going to come back, and this was going to be his big comeback to mm-hmm. WWE after being gone for 3 years. He left in, what, the very end of 05?
Yeah.
I think? Yeah. Vince, being Vince, kind of just soured on Christian, and they eventually then went with Matt Hardy doing the big heel turn here,
mm-hmm.
which kind of really didn't make sense, you know, because the storyline justification was, well, Matt was jealous of Jeff. Well, Matt was already a champion on a brand for most of that time. He was the ECW champ. Remember, Matt and Jeff at one point, for a couple weeks, were both champions. In brand, Matt was the ECW champ, Jeff was the SmackDown
champ. They were,
champ.
And I remember on the website that they posted pictures with both of them on there with having the belts, and, oh, the Hardy Boys are both on top, but it was a thing of where they also sort of worked into the storyline a little bit of what we had come to see over the last couple of years, which is forget about the whole thing of whoever wins the Rumble could challenge for one of the three titles. You know, all things being equal, it was the title on Raw that people were after the most, and that was usually the WWE title. In this instance, the WWE title was on SmackDown, but they sort of played into the gap in perception between the WWE title and the ECW title. You know, I've got this silver title over here, so.
Okay, I guess, so in addition to Vince just not being Christian's biggest supporter, and apparently that playing a role in why Christian wasn't given this role, and it was instead given to Matt.
With a very hilarious reference made to that on Edge and Christian's new show on the WWE Network. Check it out.
Another reason given is that people, quote-unquote, meaning the internet, knew, air quotes, that it was going to be Christian. And you know, and this was during Vince's big kick. Oh, if the internet knows it, we got to fool them.
OMG, yeah.
That's very Russo-rific of him.
Yes.
What did you think about the stalker, the assailant, turning out to be Matt Hardy and not Christian?
Well, it's a thing where, you know, and I try not to be somebody who, you know, gets to be like Mr. Douche Chills guy at some wrestling angles or crying, you know, bad taste. But fratricidal kind of stuff, particularly as far as they took it, of what one brother in the storyline almost trying to murder another brother. It's just like, I understand that if you're going to set up Hardy versus Hardy, you have to have some kind of stakes to it, something to trigger it. It's not just going to be which of us two is better. I need to prove it. I understand that. But, I mean, as far as they took it, and like I said,
Hey, well, brother versus brother angles, save for Brett versus Owen.
Yeah.
Because the overall talent level of those two was able to get over. They never work.
That, but
remember, they actually had tried to have these guys do a feud many years earlier. This is very forgotten. Vengeance 01?
It was somewhere in there. And it was
it was the show that Jericho unifies the titles on.
Okay, yeah, then that was Vengeance 01.
Yeah. It was the December 01 show. They wrestled against each other, and like the crowd just was not digging it, and they just were like, screw it, you're a team again. They completely dropped that storyline.
That was one of the greatest hybrid names ever. Wasn't that Vengeance Night of Champions because they were doing the unification, I think? Or am I thinking of 06? Well, I remember there was a Vengeance Night of Champions in one of these years.
It wasn't 01.
Maybe it was 07. But anyways, okay, well, that's a side thing. But that's like, Brett Owen never made me uncomfortable because it was like, if I'm seeing two brothers, I want to see it, okay, you know, there's the resentment, there's the whatever, but I want to see it presented as a wrestling angle. And this, like, they were trying to make it, like, so real.
Well, it's, the thing is, it's one of these point-of-no-return angles that when you do, like, it's kind of the issue I have with Undertaker Kane,
right,
which is obviously a kayfabe brother-versus-brother situation,
right,
in that the number of, or the McMahons.
Right, yeah, you're
or
right.
Or any McMahons.
You're right.
Like, they do these things that are so over the top. And, like, I don't know, kind of maybe I'm just a stick-in-the-mud asshole. Like, I would never forgive this
person,
with you.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. I mean, and that's where, like, part of it is, too, you and I both have brothers. So it's a thing of where you view it through that prism of, like, there's, like, no friggin' way. You know? It just so, I didn't enjoy their feud.
The storyline didn't work. It was blown off rather quickly, too. I mean, they worked against each other at Mania.
Yeah.
And then I think they had the blow-off at Backlash.
Yeah,
Jeff. And then it was over, and Matt kind of just went back to his place on the card. And Jeff did get another run with the SmackDown title and then left the company at SummerSlam.
That great feud with CM Punk.
Yes.
But it was a thing where, you know, I really felt like part of it, too, is sometimes, you know, and you and I talk about this a lot, the expectations game. And Hardy versus Hardy, the matches just didn't live up to it. It wasn't the dud of late 01, but it didn't, like...
I'm telling you, it's just brother versus brother isn't that great of a dynamic, typically.
Right.
And Jeff, I mentioned this earlier, he just didn't seem as over here as he had on some of the previous shows. Like, the crowd was really jacked when he won the title arm again. And I think part of that is because with this angle they were doing, this assailant angle, you kind of figured he was losing here. I think the live crowd figured that.
Probably. Well, the other thing is here, too, and this is one of these things over the years.
Especially when Vicky Guerrero, Heat Machine Vicky Guerrero, which you pointed out, comes out at the beginning and makes this a no DQ match.
That's right.
Right away, that's kind of like angle alert.
Yeah, exactly.
Edge is going to win this in some heelish fashion.
The other thing,
and it wasn't
going
to be Chavo Guerrero helping him, who was in Edge's corner, by the
right. And as crowds have gotten smarter over the years, I really think that there's a little bit of this coming to it, of like when in the years after this, I think it happened a lot with Daniel Bryan, of where when a guy is about to get de-pushed, if a guy is right about at the top of the card, and you see that he's about to get de-pushed, then he loses some heat because the people that are buying into him that really want him to be up on top, you know, it's like as soon as Matt comes out and screws him and costs him the match, then, well, Jeff Hardy's not in a world title match at WrestleMania anymore. So, you know, it's the anticipation of your guy about to be taken down a notch.
That's a great point.
Thank
by
you.
That's a great point because the turn did get over live, but not to the degree that you thought it would.
Right.
And there was, I guess there's like the minor issue of Matt Hardy helping Edge.
Right. You know, I equate it somewhat to...
Edge did a good job acting shocked, though. Again, peak Edge. He, as a performer, his like facial reaction towards when Matt comes down and hits Jeff with a chair, causing the pinfall, is kind of great.
To me, we talked about peak Edge in 08. To me, that goes through this summer when he goes out with the knee injury. Then he comes back as a face in 2010, and even though he's in the main event the next year at WrestleMania, I feel like that last year of Edge wasn't as great as the run that ended in mid-09.
When he got hurt. He got hurt, right?
That's
him and Jericho were teaming up, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think this 06 through 09, you know, Edge, the main event heel, is like his best years.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Best match on the show. One thing... We talk about the switching of the belts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice this? Edge had the spinner belt? Or Hardy had this? The SmackDown belt was the spinner belt now? It was kind of silly.
It didn't even correlate,
because that was always Cena's belt, but then he kind of lost it when the belt started flip-flopping.
Right, then they were fighting for the big gold belt over on Raw.
Yeah. JR and Taz were getting a little out of hand with alliteration on commentary during this match.
Yeah.
It should be pointed out. Hellacious hat trick. Literally leveled. I'm a big JR guy.
Mm-hmm.
This show was not his finest work, especially the Rumble, which we're about to get into. I thought him and the King surprisingly sucked.
Well, here's the thing, though. And we were by the
09
Rumble.
He worked with Taz, and like I said, he worked with Taz because that was a smack. Remember, JR had been surprisingly, in more ways than one, especially to him, taken off Raw in 08. And... So he was a SmackDown guy with Taz here, but then they do reunite JR and Lawler for the Rumble. Just
people
don't remember that.
We were approaching 11:59 of JR doing matches at all on pay-per-view by this point. He didn't have too much longer to go beyond 09. I don't remember when the specific was, but Michael Cole, before you knew it, was doing all of them.
He did WrestleMania 25, I know that, JR.
Okay.
The Michaels Undertaker match, I know he's on the commentary.
Okay.
I don't know how much longer he does it either. Certainly was better than the Grisham Striker ECW team, by the way.
That's right. They were the ones there.
To mention that not only were we sat out with Matt Striker in the opening match, we had Todd Grisham, play-by-play guy.
Oh, man. Oh, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than that.
So this Rumble. So we've got our three champions set up.
Yep.
And it's time to determine our top contender for one of them.
Who's fighting for the right to challenge Jack Swagger for the ECW title at WrestleMania?
Okay, so who's going to challenge? And I think going in, like we sort of talked about earlier, you knew Orton was going to win this Rumble. There was really no one. Although there were some other big names, I don't think there was a better option than Randy Orton. And he was an obvious option, but sometimes obvious is the right way to go.
Yeah, I want to clarify, as I said before, I'm not ripping that because... You do have to differentiate from year to year what you're doing. And there have to be some years out of the bunch. And it's a tiny minority of years of where the spotlight is so heavily on one guy.
Especially coming off that huge angle.
Right.
And they had to find a storyline way to keep him employed.
Right.
Because they were teasing, oh, this could be your last night in the company. And I think what they did is Orton, after he wins this Rumble, he came out on Raw the next night and was like, I'll sue to have WrestleMania not happen if I don't get my...
Because that's when
event.
He started claiming a disability.
Yeah, he like made up. They like made up some
like the three initials.
Disease.
Yeah,
like
I forget what it was.
Asshole disease or whatever.
Yeah.
It was. IED, I think it was.
Intermittent rage disorder.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a never mind. I'm not going to say that. Allegedly. Let's talk about this Rumble, which I rate as very average. I think this is one of the most average WrestleManias, Royal Rumbles I've ever seen.
It's well.
You don't like it at all.
It's well like, below par for me.
It's funny. I can't wait to when we add these stars up because I feel in the early aughts, you were ahead of me consistently.
Yeah.
I'm kind of now ahead of you on most of these in the late aughts.
On this one, and again, I can tell you the number for each of these. I'm ahead of you now. I've watched all of these. I've ranked all of them one through 29.
Yet.
This is tied for 22nd. I have it at 2 stars and a tie with 88, 16, and 96.
2 stars is low for
two
a
stars,
Rumble.
Yeah. I didn't like it. And as we go through, I'll touch on some of the specifics.
I think this is like a 2 3/4, 3-star Rumble. Very average.
Okay.
I think I said this earlier. The overall talent level here wasn't as bad as I was expecting. Certainly not as bad as it would get in the next couple years, I feel. Like, when, you know, if you go, people go to Wikipedia and look at all the names in here, there aren't a ton of guys you're like, oh, this guy blows, or oh, I forgot this guy existed. They did have some real blink and you'll miss some gimmicks on TV at this time, but those guys just didn't make it here. Remember, like, with Legacy? Remember they had, like, Sim, Snuka, and Manu, like, trying to be in the group?
Right.
Those guys weren't even mentioned on this show. So, and they weren't the only ones who didn't make this pay-per-view. And again, like you mentioned, you have three brands, so
somebody's gonna misinterpret this and call me a racist, but weren't they the same guy? Was there actually a Sim, Snuka, and a Manu? I only remember one Polynesian guy. Was there two?
I thought there were. Did I make that up?
You're probably right. You're probably
okay,
right.
I thought I looked it up.
I'm probably wrong. I'm probably wrong about that. I remember there being one Polynesian guy. There was probably two. Okay.
Hold
that
on.
Shows you how forgettable the other elements
Hold
were.
Hold on. Let me double.
Did I do
something really horrible?
No. I'm saying you're probably right. I'm not meaning to make you look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Because we may have to do some massive editing if I'm wrong here, because I don't like to be wrong. Hold on.
While you're doing that, I'm going to make one other humorous note, which is that in watching this, coming out at number one and number two.
Yeah, no, I was right. Yeah, there was two guys, Manu and Sim Snuka.
I said you were probably right.
Okay, I thought that I had screwed up their names or something.
No,
because I know Sim Snuka was, he was Deuce or Domino, and I remember there were some names.
Oh, they
changes.
Repurposed him in that role?
Well, yeah, because they were doing all the generational things.
Okay, I didn't even know he was still around. Okay, but I have in my notes here, Ray number one, John Morrison number two, and I'm like, ooh, okay, and early... preview of Lucha Underground to come. Of course, that's where they both are in 2016 as we're taping this now. So that was kind of interesting to see them out there. But starting with putting two very good workers out there, because when you got Ray and you got Morrison out there, they're going to be really getting it going.
Manu, the son of Afa. Sim Snuka, the son of Jimmy Snuka.
Okay.
Just so we're clear.
All right, both on the old family tree there. Okay.
Yes. Well, yeah, it was Legacy, obviously.
Right.
You remember what they were going for there.
I mean
Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase.
I mean the
Jr.
Polynesian family tree, because like and this again, this is a thing. This is not racist. There's like literally every Polynesian wrestler that's ever been in the business is connected somehow or another.
Except those two, really. Well, except for the fact that they both failed to get into Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ray and John Morrison, you had begun talking. Good start. Ray was in this for a long time, and it really felt because there are so the one issue, and I bet you you're going to raise this too. It seemed like, man, there was always a lot of guys in the ring at one time during this.
I thought the structure of this match was bad in that regard. My big complaint,
there
my
were
huge
no parts.
Complaint.
Like, usually there's kind of like different sections of every Rumble. This one kind of lacked that.
Right.
And because of it, Ray never got the requisite heat you usually get for being in the Rumble so long.
Because nobody notices it as much when there's the other bodies in there. I'm going to bitch about this a lot more as we get later in the match, because later, I mean... Like, when number 30 comes out, the ring is still, like, super clogged. And I'm going, when number 30 comes out, you shouldn't be looking at it going, okay, from the looks of it, we got another 10, 12 minutes to go here, you know?
Well, again, that's different. A lot of times, you know, they were too sparse by that point. Like, with the early Rumbles, you know?
Yeah.
They kind of went home too quick after number 30.
There's a happy medium. I mean, it absolutely is.
It shouldn't be just too far. Like, wasn't it, like, 96? Like, the match, like, ends, like, so quick after number 30?
I think
comes
so.
Out.
I think
like,
so.
This one's too far in the other direction.
Way too far.
But, yeah, you mentioned Mysterio. Carlito and MVP are the next guys in the match. So, you've got, again, some good workers here, even if they're some of them aren't being pushed that well.
Right.
We do go down the drain. Great Khali.
Yep.
The Great Khali is not ever going to be confused with Kenta Kobashi. But when you have a guy like that to kind of treat, give him the job, you know, we talk about these guys staying in the match for so long. To give him the jobber treatment for second year in a row in a Royal Rumble.
Here's the thing.
Why are you keeping the guy employed if you're going to take a guy that big and keep him in for a minute 30? Remember the previous year, it was like the same thing. He came out early, and I don't even think he made it a full 2 minutes.
I understand, but I want to say this. Even if how they did it was stupid, that incredibly, just insultingly stupid angle that he did with Johnny Knoxville in like September of 08, but at least by making him a face, that made it work a little bit more, because then it could be, oh, he's, you know, getting taken advantage of by the bad guys. And, you know, he did the job here for Kozlov.
I mean,
Kozlov took him out.
Yeah, his ship had sailed as monster potential main
event. That's right,
heel.
Because, like, if he's a heel, he has to be a monster. If he's a face, it's possible to fade him back into
being a comedy figure.
Yeah,
he's low on the rung.
Exactly,
thing.
And you don't have to put him at the top of the card as a face like you would as a heel. So it made more sense there.
Well,
but I hear you.
Speaking of monster heels, and you referenced him, this Vladimir Kozlov. Was there anyone shittier during this period than him?
I always thought that was a guy they could have done a little more with.
What? I think this guy may have been one of the worst wrestlers in company history.
I wouldn't say that.
I think he's hideous. He
relied on guys to fly around and bounce for him a lot. I'll give you that. But, I mean, if you put him in there with a guy who
work.
If you put him in there with a guy that could flip and fly, he could give you a good match.
Oh, I never saw one good Vladimir Kozlov match. Are you kidding me?
I would struggle to name one off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know, and you're going to struggle even if you look. This guy sucked. The Triple H versus Vladimir Kozlov program is as heinous as heinous.
What would you rather watch, Triple H versus him or Triple H versus heel Khali?
Oh, boy.
I can't believe you're even thinking about that. I'd much rather watch him and Kozlov.
Khali, just for the freak show element.
Yeah,
Vladimir Kozlov.
Kozlov wasn't immobile, though.
What?
Not compared to Khali.
He could not work, man. Kozlov could not work.
Listen, he's no Glenn Jacobs as far as a smooth-moving big man. I'm not saying that he is, but I don't hate him to the extent you do.
I would name him the worst wrestler of 2008. I would struggle to name anyone worse than him.
What about if you go back a couple of years to the muscle heads we named from past Rumbles, like Heidenreich and some of these other guys? I mean,
I think
Nathan Jones.
I think I like them more than I think Kozlov is just the nadir.
You really, really got a stiffy for him. I mean, I was the opposite for him. I was not great.
The opposite of a stiffy.
I don't think he was great, but I'm not down on him like you are. But, you know, Triple H, of course, then has to come in and take out
Kozlov. I'll tell you what, if there is ever a time for Triple H to come in and bury a heel that was just, you know, I normally hate that. Because so Kozlov comes in and throws out a bunch of people, and then Triple H comes in and throws him out. Normally I hate that kind of booking, but because it got rid of Kozlov, I'm fine with it. One thing that was interesting about this Rumble is a lot of the big names came in weird positions, like in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, Triple H is number 7, Orton's number 8,
but almost
Jericho's 11, Undertaker's 16. They did shoot their wad with the star power.
Yes, almost nobody after Undertaker. The biggest one after the Undertaker, by far, was RVD in the surprise return at 25.
Yeah.
And RVD is, at this point, nobody's idea of a main eventer. Surprise return or none.
No, because he's a surprise return. He's obviously not going to win, although he drew one of the biggest reactions in the match.
Right.
You know, though, I do like the idea of just kind of, although they may have jammed them all too close together.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of like a number 7 or a number 8 kind of winning. Because I'm so sick. I think I texted you this at some point between the last episode. If I never see a guy number one or number two winning it again, I'll be fine with that.
I agree.
Like, I feel like 06, that's part of my problem with that one, is I felt that I'd seen that too many times already, and I was just, like, it was killing the idea of the luck of the draw element of the gimmick.
I didn't like that either, but I had much bigger problems with 06 than
that. Well, yeah, obviously, that's not the biggest problem with that show.
Yeah.
But, and then they went kind of far in the overcompensating the other direction, where number 30 had never won, and then he wins 2 years in a row.
That's right.
So, I'm all for weird numbers, kind of just going, or at least one guy coming in at, like, you know, The Rock in 01? He was like a weird number and was there to the end.
I agree. I like that. But you got to sprinkle it out a little bit.
No, you did. And, particularly, and it was funny with Triple H and then Orton coming back-to-back.
Right.
That was a mistake because they sort of hogged the whole match.
Well, and here's what's interesting, and this is one of these things of where...
Like, Jericho was a real non-factor for being as hot as he was in 08.
I totally agree with that. Here's one of the interesting things, and I guess the common motif seems to be that it's around the McMahon family, because I'm going to compare something to what we just saw, again, giving it away when we're taping this on Raw, the return of Shane O'Mac that nobody saw coming. The fact that Triple H and Orton were both in the ring here, you know, Orton had just kicked Vince McMahon in the head, whatever. The fact that they didn't reference too much, they didn't do too much to play upon Triple H and Orton, in retrospect, should have made you think they were going to go there a month later, do the shocker of like, oh, he's Vince's son-in-law.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it shows a lack of long-term planning. Like, maybe they weren't planning on doing it yet because he was married to Stephanie here.
No, but I think...
I'm talking about kayfabe. Like, if you're Triple H, the character, and you down the line get all pissed about Randy Orton doing this to your stuff, to your family. And I guess, granted, Orton, he RKO'd Stephanie.
You're right. That's a big plot hole.
Like,
yeah.
Why was he not pissed here?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
He wasn't like, they didn't. Like,
that if they were going to do the reveal.
There was no inclination. And it's, again, we'll talk about this.
You're absolutely right. They should have kept him apart in the Rumble if they were going to do the reveal later.
Or they should have teased massive tension and had you wanting to see that match. I guess they did, because it comes down to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they didn't, because I guess they had not done the big reveal that Triple H is a McMahon, but they didn't have, like, Triple H, and I guess since they hadn't revealed it, they couldn't seek for justice. I don't know. It just seemed that, again, when you look back at it, oh, I can't believe he's done this to my family. And again, he RKO'd Stephanie down the line. That was what did it. That was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
But I don't know. It seemed, because a lack of long-term vision seemed to be the issue with that WrestleMania. But anyway, we're still in the middle of the Rumble.
That's right.
Triple H, by the way, was originally, if you go back and watch SmackDown, or one of the SmackDowns going up to the show, was actually supposed to be number one in this Rumble, and then they just ixnayed that.
Wow.
They did an angle where, you know, him and Vicky were having issues, and Vicky was like, you're going to be number one, and then they edited all that off the television, and they just didn't do it anymore.
Okay.
Which,
wow.
I don't know. I guess we'd seen it before. I don't know why they did that, and they just made him number seven, and he stays in a long time anyway. Crime Time does this coin flip. That was kind of amazing.
Double-sided coin
flip. Why was only one? Why was one only one of them allowed in? Was there some storyline I missed there, or was that just... Because that wasn't explained that well.
I think it had to do with Vince McMahon's racial quotas, but I'm not sure.
All right, there we go.
But that's, by the way, speaking of tag teams here, it's always interesting to see what happens when there's a tag team where both guys are smaller than Triple H, which means, of course, Miz and Morrison both go out at the hands of Triple H.
Yes, they get the old brainbuster spot from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
It was actually almost an identical spot.
Yeah.
It was cooler when Hogan did it.
Well, it had Arn and Tully in it. That's why.
Yeah. Do you know who I'm not a big fan of, and you're going to probably tell me I'm not giving him a chance? Ted DiBiase Jr. Very bland. And it was funny because
Smooth guy, but yeah, he just never connected.
They didn't really start playing up the legacy domination, which was, I guess, the big storyline in this match.
Right. They were working
until
together.
Rhodes came in a little bit down the line, and then it was the three of them. And that, I guess, was the big storyline of this match, that you had DiBiase and Rhodes basically working to make sure Orton won the match.
Right.
But, yeah, DiBiase came in, and it was like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes until Rhodes came. And then, like, all of a sudden, Legacy started working together. It was like DiBiase came in, and kind of a metaphor for his career was invisible. And not
That's
really
right.
doing it, playing off Orton at all.
Well, them working together would play a bigger part as the match went along.
Yes.
But I know what you mean. It wasn't as much as it should have been. There was another thing that was interesting, particularly in retrospect vis-a-vis politics, looking at this. A spot where CM Punk reverses the pedigree into the GTS on Triple H.
It's funny you mention that. So he broke somebody's nose with the GTS in the weeks before this show.
Okay. Was probably in the doghouse for that.
And he gives him, if you look at it, like one of the weakest GTSs ever to Triple H.
Okay.
He's like, oh, I'm not breaking this guy's nose. It's funny you referenced that because I did too. It seemed, and I don't know, maybe it's just these guys were big Michaels fans. We had some younger talent in this. A lot of guys were doing the I'm going to go over the top rope, dangle my feet
right.
spot. A lot of them. And there were just weren't a lot of eliminations. There were a lot of...
Morrison did that like every year.
Yeah. There were a lot of near eliminations, but not a lot of actual eliminations, which started to hurt the match. I think
right.
you would agree.
By the way, speaking of Legacy 2, the first of what would be 117 years in a row of a Gold Dust Cody face-off in the Rumble.
Yep. Yep. And they actually referenced that they were brothers.
Right. That wasn't nearly the reveal of Triple H being Vince's son-in-law.
Yes, but of course. For there being so few eliminations, it seemed that when there was one, either the camera would miss it or JR would miss it. I talked about earlier, JR didn't have his best Rumble call here. He seemed tired.
Yeah.
And just, like, not trying very hard. But, like, Mark Henry gets eliminated.
Right.
And it's kind of just goes without, and it's like the first elimination forever, and it's not even like, it's like, oh, Mark Henry's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of and they do it on replay.
The production truck was not having their A game.
Yeah, and JR blow, like, it's funny, like, Ray springboards, he gets it with an RKO, and JR starts going crazy that Rey Mysterio did some move, and Lawler, of all people, is like, JR, I think he actually got RKO'd there. And JR's like, what are you? What, I'll have to see that again. And then they show that thing, and it's like as plain as day. And JR's like, well, oops.
You know, Vince was screaming at him in the headset.
Yeah.